from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, famous Mike Bassick.
Why do you say it that way? I haven't asked yet. Did I demand to be famous, Mike Bassick?
You did.
And I forgot.
Yeah. Yes. You did.
Yeah, girl.
I am famous.
Yeah, you were like, that was the day.
Yeah, I am famous, but I don't know if I need to be the famous Mike Bassick.
Okay.
Is it because my dad's the unfamous Mike Bassick?
Oh, so you just want famous Mike?
Oh, yeah, girl.
Yeah. You just want famous Mike Bassick instead of the famous Mike Bassick?
Well, if we're going to do it, then I need to be the.
Okay,
the famous Mike Bassick.
Right, now my ego feels better.
What about your dad's ego? Do you care about that?
Oh, I mean, he's not as famous. If we're comparing Mike Bassicks, I'm the most famous.
When do you think that pivoted? What year would you say?
2007, probably, okay. When I gave up the dong to Bonds.
Okay.
Yet still humble, Kevin.
Yeah. You know,
famous yet still humble.
All right. That's what I like the best about you, Mike. I like many things about you. I think your humbleness is what you. I like the best.
Thanks. I don't know. Like, thanks is a humble way of saying thanks.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good point. All right. Man, it's
I'm excited.
We're three minutes in. I was excited.
What happened?
Now I'm not excited about this show. Yeah.
What a slide by Tennessee, huh?
What happened, man?
Make the effing tag.
Is it?
All right, let's...
Well, he's only like 22.
Let's go with cut number six and sadness.
The 1-2 pitch. Breaking ball swung on and missed. And for the first time in school history, the baseball national title has a home sweet home on Rocky Top. The Tennessee Volunteers, baseball national champions for the first time ever.
UT, man. UT always beats A&M.
It's the first time UT's beat A&M in a while. Now, this took most of my focus. I'm curious, was it the same for you guys? Did you get out on the Stanley Cup final at all? I didn't really get in on it. I was following the score and stuff until... the third period, World Series was over.
Obviously having to be in on the Texas Rangers, I had a job to do, but I was texting you during the game because A&M had so many opportunities when it was 3-1.
And how many more did they get than you thought?
Yeah.
There was the inning that you said, you got to score here, and they didn't. I was like, we're in trouble. And they got another chance. Yeah. And even Tennessee poured it on, and they did look like the better team. It's tough. But they were up 6-1, and I was like, well, then we're definitely done. I mean, and all of a sudden, A&M's like, are we?
It was cheating.
They were.
Corey, I don't know if you watched or not, but they brought in a 30-year-old for Tennessee who had a handlebar mustache. He tight-rolled. I've never seen this in the history of baseball. Yeah. I've seen him, but I've never seen anybody else. He's from Johnson City, Tennessee. And, I mean, he represents Johnson City, Tennessee to a T. He tight-rolled his baseball pants so you could see his Jordans, which just makes no sense. He is mulleting as mulleting can be. He is a lot of lettuce
on that diamond, man.
Yeah, he
He's
is
got a hipster mustache rolled up.
Right? Miley Cyrus, Billy Ray Cyrus's dad, like from 1988 haircut style. Then he has the handlebar mustache. Yeah. Then he tight rolls his baseball pants for the first time in baseball pant history. And he did get a big, he got two big outs at 6-3, and he told Jeff Kent's son to go sit down.
Man, that was a bad, yeah, that last swing was
He was swinging kind of no matter what.
Yeah.
I just kind of biasing it. The first inning, the first one or two innings I watched, like, on the TV.
Okay.
Because it was early enough.
Because you want me to play this? Fine, Corey. Fine. Cut number five, since you demanded it. Cut number five.
That ball is pulled down the line, and it is out of here! What a strike for the balls as Moore leaves the yard. It's 1-0 Tennessee.
That was
He's a first-round pick, correct? I think I saw
I
him like
see that.
10 to 20, I think. I'll go mock it.
Look, Tennessee is very good. I don't want to take anything away
from it. I think my question was, it seemed like A&M...
You'd like to take that title away from them, though.
...has a lot of good youth for the future, though. Like, they have a lot to build on still with their program. They had some young players that were involved in this game specifically that you're like, oh, man, there's still some growth here.
They did. It's tough because their best player who got hurt in the Super Regionals is obviously going to be a top draft pick. There's already speculation about their coach leaving. I don't know if last night...
I don't think he is.
I don't...
I know Slosh a little bit.
Yeah.
Not well, but a little bit. I don't think he's leaving to go to UT. That is not a better job. I hate telling you UT fans that. UT baseball is not a better job at this point than A&M baseball. A&M's facilities are 100 times better. The talent at A&M is better right now. And it seems like A&M has more of a commitment to their baseball program than UT does. And it doesn't matter that you pay him $3.5 million. Are you going to pay $1 million a player? You're going to have to overpay A&M players. You're going to have to be able to do that. And I don't know if UT wants to be paying $10 to $20 million a year for their baseball players, and A&M's willing to.
Yeah, that's a good question. I have no idea, but going into the Southeastern Conference obviously is going to be a tough adjustment. This is the fifth straight champion from the SEC, and obviously both of the teams last night were from the SEC. Four of the eight teams were from the SEC in the College World Series. This is the powerhouse. This is the best A&M baseball season ever. I'm sad that it ended in a loss.
So you said five? Five of them come from the SEC?
The last five.
Wow, dude. And none of them are A&M.
Nope. Because you know how many baseball championships we've won? Zero.
Hey, real quick, though. Is it five different schools?
Ooh, I thought there might have been one repeat, but let me double check on that.
A&M's never won an NFL or a football championship either, though, right?
They definitely did.
Before World War
I. Yeah.
Oh, okay, but how many of these?
That was before World War II.
Well before World War II.
No, just a couple of years. In 39.
Oh, 39.
39.
I think it was like 1910 or something.
That 39 was a legitimate championship. Do we try to claim other fake championships? Yes. That's a fair critique.
39 was a magical year. I remember.
So the last five.
They passed it once a game.
Sorry about that, gentlemen. The last five College World Series champions. Obviously, 2024 is Tennessee. 23 was LSU. 22 was Ole Miss. 21 was Mississippi State. 20 was canceled. And 19 was Vanderbilt. So five different SEC
Holy
programs.
Moly.
That's what I thought.
And still not A&M.
That's okay. That
like, yes, I know,
they're
just, Corey.
They're going through the rotation.
Okay, all right. So
we haven't got to the T's yet.
Your time's on the way.
But
man.
It's T-E-N, not T-E-X.
I mean, we did get Vanderbilt in there.
The whole alphabetical order thing is already thrown into chaos.
That was a long time ago before we did alphabets.
Yeah, they're getting the teams that
COVID started our new alphabet.
Getting all the teams that haven't won over history or something like that.
We have haven't won over history. Let Texas A&M y'all are next. Win.
Tennessee hadn't won in a long history either. So.
Hey.
Tennessee has a lot of first-round picks.
That actually is true. This is the first ever championship for Tennessee. But as long as we're talking about teams, places that never win anything, let's go to cut number 8, where Canada still can't win the Stanley Cup.
10 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. A dream 30 years in the making is a reality. The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. You always will have a place in South Florida.
No, they won't. I didn't totally understand that last thing.
You'll always have a place in South
Florida. All right.
I hate it when announcers do that and yell into the, like, what are you doing? You're gratifying yourself, but you're not helping any of us out.
It's the moment they get caught up. They weren't prepared for it. You know, they just weren't caught up. They weren't ready.
Be a pro.
Yeah. You gotta write something down like Jim Gray, right?
When the Rangers make the comeback this year in 24 and win it all, I'll remember that.
Or Nance.
Yeah, don't yell.
Don't scream into the mic.
The World Series trophy will always have a place in Arlington. Now, real quick, I'm going to play your favorite coach, Corey. This is Paul Maurice while still on the ice, after winning the Stanley Cup.
Okay, alongside Paul Maurice. Paul, you said you needed to win one, and you've got one now. So what's it feel like?
It's just brilliant, right? I've never hugged so many sweaty men in my entire life. I'm not sure I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to do it tonight. So, you know what? It's not what I thought it would be. It's so much better.
And then he did add on after that. He said the only thing he wants after this was for Winnipeg to win a Stanley Cup, because he was a coach in Winnipeg, I think for like 8 or 9 years, and he just decided he wasn't effective anymore, left Winnipeg, obviously has come to Florida. It's been fantastic. They lost in the Stanley Cup final last year. They won this year, and Canada continues to not win the Stanley Cup.
How do you feel about that today, Kevin? Do you feel vindicated to the person who had that receipt and they were just waiting to pull it out on you?
I would have much rather the results were switched on both sides.
What?
I would have been glad if Canada won a Stanley Cup, that Texas A&M would have won the national title. But
dude, more of America gets to celebrate that we're dominant in hockey than a small pocket of A&M. Cares.
I wasn't rooting very hard last night, but I was wanting Edmonton to win. Everybody at Bally's was wanting Florida to win because Edmonton beat the Stars. But I was like, I want Connor McDavid to win a championship. I don't know much about hockey, but I think when the best players win, it's kind of cool.
Do you think Connor McDavid, because my answer today is like, hell no. Does he take any solace in winning the Conn Smythe Trophy and being the MVP of that? Or is he like, who cares right now?
Yeah, I think who cares. I think even Jerry West, I think him winning the NBA Finals MVP, I think he's the only one to win it on the losing team. I don't think he's really or was super proud of that MVP.
Okay.
Like, he was like, I don't like having this because we didn't win.
Yeah.
So it's a reminder of losing.
Connor McDavid in the playoffs, 8 goals, 34 assists, 42 points, 25 takeaways. He's the first player to win the Conn Smythe on the losing team since the lockout, 6th ever, and 2nd non-goalie. So once again, hockey shows itself to be a lot different than some of the other sports.
Yeah, and when it comes to whatever ratings end up happening here, Kevin, I have no clue what that's going to look like, but my eyes, I had all 3 screens up on my laptop last night, and my eyes kept, maybe it's because the ice just stuck out differently than the 2 baseball fields, but my eyes kept going up to that hockey game. And seeing these dudes in the first period laying it all on the line, like throwing the bodies all over the place to stop pucks.
And then in the last 10 seconds, just throwing their body right where the puck was, they're like, good luck.
It was, they were exhausted.
Yeah.
I mean, they were exhausted doing everything they could to just hold on to this. It was so much fun to watch that happen and watch that go down. That was, Eric Chiafalo said it yesterday during Crosstalk, we got the best of both worlds. 2 desperate teams wanting this at the same time. But what a waste of time for Canada so hard to come back from down 3-0 and then
you think that was a waste of time?
And then lose.
We went the distance, right? Yeah. Like, we were talking about how everybody was like tired, and you could see Edmonton when there's like 3 minutes left and they've got the puck in their own part of the ice, and they're like, here we go again. Let's go up the ice. Like, it felt like back when heavyweight fights had 15 rounds.
Yeah.
And you were just like, why is this still happening? For our enjoyment. That's why.
Like, Muhammad Ali said, and I think it was the second Joe Frazier fight, maybe the third, is those last three rounds. He goes, I've never felt closer to death in my entire life.
They looked close to death, and that was so much fun for my, because you could see that, like, yeah, they had, it wasn't about skill. It wasn't, they were just like pure want to, yeah, which I feel like that's what we're here for sports for, right?
I get it. And if I'm an Edmonton fan, I'm probably sitting there going, I wasted a week of my time caring about this.
Is that how you would have felt if the Mavs made it to game
seven?
They
lost, dude. Well, I mean, that's a different story for the Mavs, but as an Edmonton fan, they just really got 30 years of life in Canada not having a championship, and now they so just rude. Teased you all the way to the so point of sending you home with nothing.
I just want to make this clear, which I'm not saying you're wrong on this.
Oh.
You're happy the Mavs didn't try that hard in Game 5?
Now, after that waste of time for a week right there, those players could have had a week of vacation.
Because
earlier,
at halftime of Game 5, it was like, all right, I'm 100% yeah, know it's over.
Yeah, like, I'm done.
I think you had a little bit of hope going into Game 5, but by halftime, you're look, like, thank you so much, because this way I don't have to think about Game 6
and
or
just,
Game
and
7.
And even beyond that, just think about this, man.
They I would waste, rather them won all three.
They wasted the Stars' time, you know? They wasted the Stars' time now, too. They didn't even win the damn thing. So, like, they beat the Stars and weren't even good enough to go win it. So,
what a fascinating take on how that all played out. This was the 18th Game 7 in Stanley Cup history. Road teams had won the last three, but now the home team won 13-5 all time in Game 7. And I pulled this cut just for you. Not a cut. It's just a line.
Okay.
Did you know the first year of the best of seven Stanley Cup final was in 1939? Maple Leafs captain Sil Apps.
Not a real name.
I know. Well, you're not going to believe this is real either. Do you know what he said when they won?
Mozzarella sticks.
By Jiminy!
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did! That is documented. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, today, Wyatt Langford, 3:40 on with the G-Bag Nation. You got to tune in for that. You got to tune in for this. Coming up next, the 2024 NBA offseason entrance survey. I got questions. I hope you guys have answers.
I don't know.
Next on The Fan.
Irving with 3 seconds. Shake and bake behind the back. Drives inside. Falling away at the buzzer. Kyrie Irving nails it. Such a difficult shot. Made look easy. And Dallas has a 9-point lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I have a NBA offseason entrance survey for you. So some of the big questions going into the offseason, and perhaps we'll just even add more questions as we go along the way. My first question for all of y'all, who will be the biggest star to change teams this summer?
I'll lean Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think he wants to be in Cleveland.
I would agree with that.
Is Paul George an available option?
Yes.
Paul George is one of the two that jumped to mind. The other one, and I don't know if people will still classify it like this, was Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson and Paul George, I think, are two big names that could certainly be on the move.
My question on Paul George, because I tried to make a trade on Real GM on Sunday, and everything had him locked. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know how this works. I should have just texted to Mike and be like, how do we make this happen? But he isn't
on Paul George.
Isn't his defense and ability to handle the ball exactly what you want? Like
for the Mavs?
Yes.
Sure. At $50 million right, a year, it's impossible to
but
get him. He has to either
he's the player though, right?
Yeah, he has to either, I think, like opt in or sign a new deal or just say, I'm going to be a pure free agent.
To your point about that, Mike, I think you will enjoy this. In the story from The Ringer, they said, what's one made-up trade you desperately would want to see? And they did say Paul George to the Mavericks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then talked about all of the issues that would surround actually
yeah,
making the trade, including would the Clippers really want to facilitate the trade of George to the Western Conference champions. And it said, still, it'll likely be the first trade I make when I take over the Mavs in 2K. So who's going to say no?
I've watched quite a bit of Tim Legler on Paul George the last, let's say, 72 hours. Because there's this rumor that Philadelphia does have the money to just outright yeah, sign him to the max contract. But he's like, Paul George's personality does not fit Philadelphia.
How so?
That He does not like a lot of pressure.
Okay.
Philadelphia gives you anxiety being on their team. You have to play.
The city?
Yes, you have to play balls out all of the time. And if you don't, they will hate you. And
so wouldn't this be perfect here then?
Yes, but
we can't do it.
Once again, yeah. It's impossible to do it. But he says Paul George, in a way, because of, remember, he got depressed in the bubble and was like, I don't even want to play basketball anymore. And he's like, that is not a Philadelphia person. He's like, I'm not trying to dog on Paul George, but there's certain towns that you don't want certain personalities going to. And he's like, in a way, he's kind of saying Paul George's personality and at times game does not fit Philadelphia fans at all. So, yes, a place perfect like this Dallas. Would be perfect.
Yeah.
But the issue is the impossibility of doing it.
Reggie, is there a name that jumps to mind, biggest name you think most likely to switch teams this offseason?
Paul George was the answer that came to mind for me as well. And I understand what you're saying about Tim Legler and those things, but sometimes it's just about can you get those particular people with the talents. And I think that with the max salary spot in Philadelphia and you look at what they need and he also fits that, it seems like there's more of the capability of it making sense with him also maybe wanting to be there. So that's the one that I could see. Klay Thompson doesn't feel like he fits that mold. I haven't thought a lot about it, but Jimmy Butler is another name there because they're in. It's not. I don't know how visible it is to everybody, but him and the Miami Heat are in a little bit of a stalemate money wise, and the Heat seem to be an organization that is more than willing to be like, no, this is where we are, and if you don't like it, you can kick rocks.
And supposedly, Pat Riley has spoken out. He's not a huge Jimmy Butler fan.
If he's available, he'll get paid. And supposedly Jimmy Butler wants a 2-year, $113 million extension.
Must be nice.
Yes, that would be nice. Now, this has more of a Mavs lean to it, or I kind of want to just dive into one player here because one of the questions was, which under-the-radar free agent are you keeping an eye on? And obviously, you think about Derrick Jones Jr. Is that going to be... I know we talk about all these bigger names and everything, but is that your first and most pressing as a fan? Because I know the Mavs said it. Is that your primary focus in the offseason?
If there's not another option.
Okay.
I mean, Derrick Jones Jr. has his flaws too.
Sure.
And if there's a better option available that the Mavs can pull off, then I'd love to go with that. But he's a very good fit for what this team is trying to accomplish. So, yes.
Yeah, because he's kind of the only realistic free agent you can get in Dallas right now.
And that's the thing. Like, that's where he's sitting there, you know, he's just going through all the things with his abacus and everything.
Yes.
He's got that all figured out. So, yeah, that's where.
I mean, what do we have? $5 million at most to spend?
Unless you get under the tax, but
with the Timmy sweepstakes, will that help?
Yeah, that's so weird that that's described as a sweepstakes.
Hold on. I saw some people going, hey, are we really talking about this like a sweepstakes? Why aren't we hyping that up more? It is a sweepstakes, guys. Timmy's a great player.
Yeah.
Makes lots of three-pointers.
Fantastic 3-and-D, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
We got to pump this trade value up, Kevin.
3-and-D?
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, my gosh.
Great guy in your locker room, you know?
Just because he said 3-and-D doesn't mean defense. He could have meant 3-and-Diva, you know?
Hey.
But he's not, is what we're saying. He's not. Pump that up, Kevin. We got to pump up the value on this guy.
He's a player.
If you like giving up straight line drives and getting a charge once every other game, that is great defense.
A lot of charges taken.
I know how to sell this. If you need a player who's not afraid to take a shot, could be a clutch shot, could be a shot at any point, Tim Hardaway Jr. sure got it.
There you go.
See?
And if he's made one, he's probably going to shoot another.
Does it feel like the Antoines back in the day?
If he misses, he's going to shoot another.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know why you had to say make. He's going to shoot.
Can't get buckets without shooting, you know?
Exactly.
And the pressure doesn't get to him on shooting unless it's at the free throw line with under 3 minutes to go. Then he's probably going to miss at least one or two.
There could be a lot of players on our team, to be fair. Which young team will make the leap next season? Obviously, the one that jumped to mind was the Spurs, but you might also say none of them.
My computer is slow as all get out, so I'm struggling with looking up all the teams. Houston comes to mind.
Okay.
I like them, but the West is so tough.
It's
like,
true.
If I start saying the leap to what? The play-in situation?
Yeah.
Just wait till the Spurs get their new draft pick in with Wimby.
Well, they also have there's a scuttlebutt that they'll be making some moves that will add some higher end talent in there as well. Is this a fair option? Because they made the playoffs, but it is the East. Orlando Magic? Like, I think Orlando is a team that is very young.
Okay, so then in this case, you would have to have them making the leap to they're one of the favorites in the East. So is that what you're saying? Because they were the fifth seed at 47-35. Do you think they're going to jump into the top three?
I think that they could.
Okay.
I think that I sincerely think that they could.
The Thunder. They're young. And they could make the
They were the one seed
NBA
in the
finals,
West.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, they were out in the second round, Kevin, so the leap would be the finals.
So you've got them going to the NBA finals from the 808. Man, I don't know if this is a Detroit area code, the Pistons, because my goodness.
Do they have a coach?
New coach, yeah. They don't have one,
but
they're going to get a new one.
Hire Isaiah Thomas. Just let's go down.
Oh, that's gone well every time anybody's done that.
Why not?
Is he bad at the job?
You know what? If not, hire Dennis Rodman. I feel like at this point.
Oh, my God. I would so watch
at
that.
At this point, hire Dennis Rodman as the coach and let's see what happens. He might cuss less than J.J. Redick at his initial press conference.
Hire Dan Campbell. He turned around the Lions.
Oh, just pulling double duty?
Yeah.
He could do it.
Same contract, though. Yeah.
What?
He just does the extra work because he loves
it's
Detroit.
Just pro bono?
What's the next huge question?
Like he's helping troubled youth.
Will Bronny James get taken in by who?
55 to the Lakers.
Lakers.
One overall to the Lakers. They're trading up.
What?
I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to be amazing. Yeah.
Have you been watching that Kevin Costner movie again?
Yeah. Get all my picks back. I think Mike's dead on. I don't know what team would go, we're going to stand in y'all's way for this. We're really going to stand in y'all's way just so you can't get this. And then what happens after that? Does he pull an Archie Manning? And he's like, you're not playing for that team.
I think that he might end up being an NBA player.
Yeah.
But this probably is, to be honest, the worst path to becoming a rotational player in the NBA. It's okay at 19 years old not to be close to NBA ready. It doesn't, I just don't get it from the perspective of LeBron. LeBron's a billionaire. Obviously, this has zero to do with Bronny making money.
Yeah.
He's one of the richest people in the world, his dad. I just don't get why he wouldn't want to improve his game 30 to 35 games in college where he could play 25 to 30 minutes a game. I don't know. Here's the other thing that I don't know about Bronny. Is Bron going to refuse for his son to go to the G League?
Supposedly, that's what Rich Paul said as well, that he would not be signing the two-way typical kind of second-round draft pick contract.
And the Celtics wouldn't just say, hey.
So sitting on the bench, doing walkthroughs in the regular season, and then getting in some kind of scrimmages for the five guys who aren't playing versus the coaches that they need to get in work. And I just don't see if... Not that I'm LeBron James at all, but if I'm LeBron James, I just don't see how this is best for my son to reach the dream of being a real rotational player in the NBA down the road.
Couldn't you argue that they have already implemented phase one of that incorrect plan? He was terrible in college. Now, you could make a good argument that he was miscast on his team, but they were like, don't care. Who cares that he didn't get a whole lot of time? And what he did not look good. We're sending him to the NBA, even though he's clearly not ready. We're not going to send him to the G League, even though that would help. That just feels like they're like, no, like, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Because we don't have to, I guess. I don't know. Do the Thunder go for it? Now, this brings Paul George back up into the discussion. Because obviously they made the trade for Alex Caruso. They have, as Mike's brought up numerous times, I don't know, 50 million draft picks.
They only have 5 first rounders in next year's draft.
Okay.
And so, I mean, there's 30 first round picks, so they haven't gotten all of them yet.
That's a good point. So
they only have one this year, the 12th pick.
They have more than twice. They have twice as many, maybe more than twice as many first round picks as the Mavs do in the next 5 years, just next year.
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay. And then they also have about $31 million in projected cap space. Do you think that the Thunder are going to make a bold move, perhaps as soon as tomorrow?
It's tough to define bold, but I will lean to yes. There's no reason anymore to have draft picks the next 3 years. They have all the young talent you could ever want.
Yeah, they do have a lot.
So I don't know where these guys... So you take... Let's just say you take three of your five first-round picks next year. You take the 12th pick this year. Where is the 12th pick? Let's just say I'm throwing out a name that he doesn't see. He seems to be dropping in the draft, but they kind of need maybe a big guy depth.
Filipowski.
They take, yeah. When is Filipowski going to get minutes?
Yeah.
And how is he going to develop at this point? Even Cason Wallace, like he's going to get, but he's behind Shea, who's going to get 40 minutes a night, and Lou Dort, who's going to get 36 minutes a night. And Williams, the really nice player yeah. who's turning into their kind of third best player.
Would Edie be the kind of guy that they would look at?
Who?
Edie.
The 7'5" kid or whatever. Yeah, I don't know.
Pair that size with Holmgren?
But
I don't
they
know.
Have a 1,000 picks, and they don't have any more room for minutes for the most part. So at this point, you'd go, shouldn't we get a guy like, I'm not saying this person, but shouldn't we get like an Al Horford to really help out this core?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
interesting
mean,
question.
There's been a lot of people that have looked at that team and said they probably need to consolidate all of these talents into yes. like better players. But one of the things that it seems like Sam Presti understands, he knows where he is. They often aren't playing in the free agent pool even though they have money. So I do wonder if they're going to use that cap space with all of the draft picks to trade for take shots that way. And that's the way that I would go is like if you're talking about a big move. I'm anticipating them utilizing that into trading for certain players to get themselves better.
Okay. I get that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashek.
A tough one for the Rangers, and we'll find out more about Josh Jung today.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now. It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashek.
Tough one for the Rangers. Michael Lorenzen threw a pretty good game. After the game, he said he didn't feel like he had kind of his good stuff. He wasn't in rhythm, but he's able to go out there and go 5 innings, 1 run, and then in the 6th inning, he gave up a leadoff double, which was his 91st pitch. He had to work out of the 5th inning. They only scored on a wild pitch. They didn't score on like a big hit or anything, so he gives you a really good chance to win. Unfortunately, Jacob Latz has had a very good year, but he didn't have a good game yesterday.
You've talked about this before. I just want to make sure I understand. You know how they'll talk about, like, oh, pitchers and wins aren't as important, blah, 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 blah. But as a pitcher...
They are so important.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page about that.
Yeah, fans can say whatever they want. Us pitchers want wins. At the end of our career, we would love to have 100 wins or 150 wins, or almost the impossible starting now is 200 wins. So, I mean, wins.
You need to save 300, man.
All you gotta do, if you go to a guy like Jacob DeGrom, you'll go and go, whoa, he, and then, I mean, they just didn't score a lot when he was with the Mets, but, and he's been hurt a lot, so he doesn't have the games pitched to really have what would catch your eye with wins, but they mean everything to us. That's why.
Are they part of the contract negotiation at all?
They can be, but very little.
Okay.
But the first inning is one of the innings that's the easiest to score in Major League Baseball because a pitcher might not have his rhythm and might not have his location. And then the next inning where it's easiest to score is the fifth inning. Now, why is that?
Because they might be switching or they're the starting pitcher
because
has gone
we
through the
care
rotation.
So much about the win that sometimes we get distracted by now we're starting to think about the result of our own game. That the fifth inning can be an inning where a pitcher can lose a little bit because in a 2-1 game or something like that, and we're up, we start thinking a little bit. We're human. We start thinking about that win that we have the possibility of getting. Or even if it's 4-1, it's not like we're cruising. It's all of a sudden like, dude, I got a great chance to win a game here. All of a sudden, you've been distracted a hair by the focus of each individual pitch, by the result of what you could possibly get. It's tough to explain, but it is what it is. It's, I think golf is similar in that, is that golf is such an individual sport. And as a pitcher, it's a pretty individual sport as a pitcher. Is a golfer can look and have a 3-stroke lead with 5 to go, and then all of a sudden they stop playing well because all of a sudden they get, okay, in these 5 holes, if I can, right? But now we're not concentrating on each shot. We're starting to think about the overall result instead of that one shot right here off the tee box that we need to make. And then from there, we make a decision on where that ball is and what we're going to do on that one. We start thinking big picture instead of little picture, which can cause issues. Okay, so Jacob Blatz doesn't have a good one. Jonathan Hernandez comes in and really doesn't shut the door down either.
Yeah.
And the Rangers lose, and Milwaukee has the second best bullpen in all of baseball. So just for today and tomorrow, if you're losing after 6, you're pretty much going to lose. There's a very, very small possibility you can come back against the Milwaukee Brewers after 6 innings.
Something that struck me about this, I saw a tweet from Kennedy Landry. I'm curious if you have seen any like commonality in this. The Rangers have lost 7 straight series openers on the road. That just feels unlikely, but is there anything that you're seeing on the road or maybe even a season opener or a series opener that's different than regular Rangers baseball?
They're just not playing well. They're not consistent.
So
they just can't seem to carry any type of momentum. Even when you thought they were carrying the momentum of that Royal series to Milwaukee when they were up 3-1, it just all of a sudden went away. They just can't seem to get on a good roll. It's just one game yesterday. So if they win the next 2 in Milwaukee, that would be a Milwaukee, let's face it, record-wise, they're way better than the Rangers. It's not close,
right?
Record-wise, where Milwaukee is this year and where Texas is this year. We think of Texas, and they are the defending world champs, but when we start looking at the records of Milwaukee and Baltimore, you're just not close when it comes to 2024 baseball. Just like last year, we could say, oh, we're playing this team. Well, we don't care. We're great this year. Mm-hmm. I don't care what we were in 22. We are playing great baseball in 23. So Milwaukee, now they've won the division 2 or 3 years in a row. So they're a consistent winner. Not a consistent champion, but they're a consistent winner of that division right now.
When they scored the 2 runs in the 5th, I was like, that's that team. They looked like they had that thing. I was like, okay, there it is. Once they get this deep into a game, we can trust they'll get some runs on the board and our pitching is going to stop it. And then Adolis hits a home run and I'm like, even better now. He's back in action. And then the bottom of the 6 happened.
And then you give up, right? You talked about Adolis and you feel better. You're like, dude, Adolis just hit a fastball. Yeah, and it was, I think, 97 miles an hour for a home run in the opposite field gap. And you're thinking, hey, this is awesome. And it's going to happen. You're just not going to be. Milwaukee is pretty much perfect in their bullpen, and they're missing Devin Williams for the whole year, the best closer in baseball last year. They don't even have him, but yet they're the best bullpen or second best bullpen in baseball.
That's pretty amazing.
And so you just look at it and you go, I go to this article because it sounds like to me, I'm just throwing out my opinion. I don't have anything based off of this. It sounds like Josh Jung isn't going to be activated today. It just sounds like, I was listening to Chris Young yesterday on G-Bag Nation. Yeah. It just sounds like it's taking time for this wrist to really heal and get strength. I mean, if you think about it, you get surgery on it and then they put you in a brace where you can't do much exercise for a month. Everything's going to go away. There's nothing he could do except let it heal. And through the healing, your forearm and your wrist just keep getting weaker and weaker by the day. So he's trying to build up that strength. And so there's soreness in trying to build up the strength to be able to swing a baseball bat with the power that you need to swing it with.
And to your point with the Chris Young interview yesterday on G-Bag, one of the things he did say was, Josh Jung is not going to probably play every day when he does come back. So even if he is activated today or tomorrow, it's not just going to be a, there you go, put him in every day.
Right. And that's, he was kind of talking about Josh Smith. He's still going to play some third base because our guy probably can't play it every day. And so Josh Smith, he said, will be in the lineup every day. It'll just be different ways to get him in the lineup every day. You look at the Milwaukee Brewers, there's this article out in baseball. And I think this is a little bit scary on where the Rangers sit right now in baseball. The article is 2024 MLB trade deadline. Jeff Passan's top additions for contenders. Rangers aren't even in the article. And that's the reality of
this moment, right?
That's the reality of where the Rangers are at when people are having to write national headlines getting closer to the All-Star break on what teams should do. Now, I'll just give this to you. This is going to be around baseball a little bit. Philadelphia Phillies need a center fielder. Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest here. I'm just thinking about the Rangers. Could the Rangers benefit in a weird way? I don't want to go down this path, and Chris Young is not going down this path today or tomorrow or anytime soon. But near the end of July, he might have to think about these things. So Philly needs a center fielder. The Rangers can't really help there. Because Leody Taveras, I don't think, is what Philadelphia would be looking for their final piece to get over the top and win the World Series. I'm not saying I'm against Leody Taveras, but they have Luis Robert. And if you compare the two when healthy, there's not a comparison.
Yeah.
All right. So then I go to Cleveland, and Cleveland needs starting pitching. And I will say this. The Rangers do have starting pitching if the Rangers became sellers. And I will tell you, I don't think you can find a better starting pitcher on the market if the Rangers kept losing than Nathan Eovaldi.
Oh, my gosh. What are you doing?
But he is a free agent. If I have his contract right, you can look it up real quick. But I'm pretty sure that after this year, he is a free agent. Because I'm pretty sure we signed him to a two-year, $36 million deal.
Yep, 34. Yes.
So Cleveland would be a team that if, for some reason, you were like, son of a gun, you know, you could help them out. Now, the New York Yankees, they are 52-28. They need infield and bullpen. We can definitely help out bullpen because Kirby Yates, who I think is later in the show, Kirby Yates is one of the best relievers in baseball. Yeah. David Robertson has pitched in New York and handled the pressure of New York. So if you're ever worried about, which has happened to New York Yankee trades before, they've traded for, let's be specific here, Joey Gallo, which everybody knew here could not handle New York.
Yeah.
And went to New York and could not handle New York. And so you have to, as a New York Yankee organization or Boston or Philadelphia, go, hey, can this person handle this environment? It's going to be intense. And I would say, we have no problem. We know that David Robertson can handle it. Jose Leclerc. I don't know if Jose Leclerc could handle New York.
Aren't you inclined to think no?
I would be inclined to think no. And so, but Jose Leclerc is a free agent at the end of the year. So your top three relievers, Yates, Robertson, and Leclerc are all free agents at the end of the year. So these are the things that Chris Young has to start thinking about when these articles come out. Not that he's reading these articles, but I'm sure that New York, if they're looking for bullpen help, might have just whispered to Chris Young, hey, if this season keeps going the way it's going, we would be interested in your probably two veteran relievers that are free agents at the end of the year. And Chris Young's probably like, I have no interest in trading those guys right now. But, you know, those conversations happen, and then a month down the road, the Rangers might have to, you know, think about those conversations. Baltimore Orioles, you're about to play them. They say that they need starting pitching. Now, the best match, they say, is Garrett Crochet. He is awesome for the White Sox. I would love for the Rangers to get Garrett Crochet for the next, I need to check his contract till he becomes a free agent, but like the next 2 to 3 years before he hits free agency. But that would be another team that they really saw what Nathan Eovaldi can do in the playoffs. Type of situation. The Dodgers need outfield. It says best match, Randy Arozarena. I don't know. The tough thing is if you wanted to, I'm not saying you could or would, but if you wanted to trade, and I'll stop here, but if you wanted to trade Adolis Garcia, in a weird way, he would have to start playing better for him to have trade value. And then if he's playing better, then the Rangers would probably be doing better, and the Rangers would be maybe more in a little bit of a buyer situation or a hold situation. And then Milwaukee last one, rotation depth, which once again, that it's plays the Rangers. Into the Rangers. Yeah.
With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Now that the NHL season is over, the overpaid players' need for upgrades and a blueprint for a successful Stars season. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.